Hello and welcome to Arcanum Obscura. I'm Nathaniel.
I'm Chris.
Greetings. You also threw me off, by the way. Normally you'll turn on the microphones and everything before we actually start recording.
Test the levels?
Just to hear how I sound and how you sound. Immediately turned on the microphones, hit record, and started the intro. I'm like, starting.
I had the mics muted.
I know, but how am I supposed to know if I sound good or not?
You never do. Problem solved.
Well, you have me there. Anyways, you said you had a rant.
Yes. I'm so sick of that fucking woke word. So I told you there's a movie.
You know woke started off as a good thing, right?
Yes.
Yes.
That's what it pisses me off.
It's so funny.
Part of it. So like I was looking at a review for a movie. And the person was saying, you know, that whole Holly woke blah 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 nonsense. And a bunch of people were saying this is woke liberal bullshit. And then someone's like, within the first 15 minutes of this movie, you find out the lesbian's a daughter and the son dropped out of school and thinks he knows everything. I'm like, so reality? You don't like the fact that...
Yeah.
Reality? Yeah. Sorry.
I mean, there's tons of people I know who dropped out of high school, college, and are like, I know everything. I'm like, all right, Steve, whatever you say.
Yeah, but I think it was more the lesbian part they were pissed about.
Perhaps.
It's like, this is reality. There's lesbians in the world.
There are indeed lesbians in the world. I've met a few. Like, two. That's like half the lesbian population right there, right?
Yes, right. Exactly.
Two. That's all.
It's just fucking annoying. I'm so sick of seeing it. It's like, oh, you woke idiots. It's like, because we know what's real and what's not. We don't live in a fantasy fucking world where, you know... I don't even know. I don't want to get.
Insulting. You're getting close.
I was getting close.
You're getting close.
I want to, but
let them live their truth.
Yes, let them live their fake truth. Ignorance and bliss.
Everybody has their own truth.
Yes, but when you start forcing your truth on other people, it's a problem.
Yeah, that's true. I would agree. I mean, they will make the same argument, though.
But they're wrong.
That's a matter of a perspective. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm gonna stay. You know. I'm gonna be centrist on this. I can see it both ways. Hollywood's getting woke. Hollywood's just doing what Hollywood does best. Pandering.
I mean, if you're so worried about shit like that, you better avoid every fucking documentary ever made.
I agree. Yeah. Especially that Cleopatra one.
I haven't seen anything about that.
You haven't? No. Oh, I love it.
I was talking to this one guy.
Oh, I fucking hate love it.
At work a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how his daughter, but not technically daughter.
Stepdaughter? Adoptive daughter?
I think it's his
sister
girlfriend's
wife? Okay. Kid. Mm-hmm.
So, how her lover was saying stuff how, like, you know, she never pushes her stuff on him and mm-hmm. keeps pushing religion on her. And
mm-hmm.
he's like, you went to the same church as me. You learned the same stuff. I'm like, well, what exactly part of religion are you using to, you know, say she's wrong? And he's like, Sodom and Gomorrah. Like, do you even know the fucking story? Like, yeah. So you know it was two angels that everybody wanted to have sex with, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, so you condone giving your daughters out to be gang raped? Or your daughters getting you drunk and having sex with you? You're all right with that part of it? He doesn't know the fucking story. He just listened to what someone told him in church and ran with it. Read the book.
I actually want to get a study Bible.
Just get the Bible.
No, I want to get a study Bible.
Why?
Why? I want to see what they talk about.
I'll get you the picture Bible.
You would do that for me?
Did I show you what I'm going to get for
for
the podcast?
No.
Oh.
This is a weird deter. Like,
can I use your phone?
Do you need it open?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not gonna bang on it.
I don't know. I thought you were gonna use it as like an example.
Just open Amazon.
There you go.
I just need Amazon.
I don't have Amazon. You're gonna have to look it up on
So, well, I'm in the browser, so.
Yeah, that works.
I just got so lost because I haven't used an iPhone in like a little bit.
Where's your phone at?
It's on the charger.
Oh. Can I use your phone? You got games on your phone?
So we talked about Minecraft? Doing an episode.
Yeah.
With
a Ouija board.
Yes. Doing like a seance.
Yeah. An Elijah board.
So I think I am going to get us this.
Yes, you did tell me. You did show me that. And I'm going to take it away from the mic before it makes any more bad audio cracking noises.
Jesus Ouija board, so you can speak directly to Jesus. Something they've been condemning and damning for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
I love how the oracle's across.
Yeah. The planchette.
Yes.
The planchette's across.
That's the oracle, too.
Yeah, but it's a planchette.
Yeah, I'm going to get us that. And that's what we're going to use to do a seance.
Are we going to do a seance here, or should we go somewhere that's spooky and more haunted?
I mean, we can do it here.
We'll go to St. Augustine. There's ghosts everywhere there.
I went there to do photography. Some girl invited me just to hang out, and she's like, there's a lot of pictures and shit up here. And there's nothing to fucking take a picture of in St. Augustine.
What do you mean? There's the water. There's a lighthouse.
It's a great city. I mean, I love the city. I love walking around. Everything's really nice looking, but there's nothing that stood out as something that would be a nice picture.
The fort?
No. The roads? Photography. It's nothing that would stand out to me. Someone else got mad at me for that once, too.
What about the random cannons everywhere?
They're like, I drove you down this road specifically so you could take pictures of the trees. I'm like,
It's trees.
I don't find anything interesting about any of these trees. Nothing is standing out as a shot for me. You can't get mad at me for that.
How about Flagler School? Flagler, is it a university or college? Flagler University.
Is it open still, though?
Flagler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we can't really get in there.
Why not?
We're just going to walk into the cafeteria, sit down, and start a seance?
Yeah. It's a university.
It'll go over well.
It's a university.
You know what's going on in Florida right now, right? Well, we got the Jesus Ouija board. We'll be okay.
Yeah. I don't know what you're fine. I don't know what you're talking about. I think that it would be a great plan and be like, no, we're just doing studies. We're trying to contact Jesus.
Okay, well, when the right-wing Christians come charging, I'm going to point at you. Listen, and I'm going to run.
It's St. Augustine.
I'm going to cry and fall over because my back hurts and I can't run.
It'll be fine. I can do fine with the right-wing group.
Nah, I don't think you could.
You think I'm more of a right-wing than you are?
No, I'm talking about the Christian conservatives.
I'm fine with the.
You've got long hair. They're going to beat the shit out of you.
You're right. And I got tattoos.
Yes. No, because they don't do the Old Testament.
Oh, you're right. My apologies.
Leviticus is out.
They'll probably think I'm gay.
Then they'll beat the shit out of you.
Then they'll beat the shit out of me.
They're going to beat the gay out of you with the Bible.
Damn.
Because that's how it works.
Yeah.
You choose to be gay.
Quit being gay. Smack. Yes, sir.
That's right. I was explaining to that guy at work. I'm like, you realize this isn't a choice of hers, right?
Smack it. Yeah.
Okay, so we came up with what we were going to do. What, Tuesday?
Yeah.
And you had the same idea as me?
Yeah, I was looking up the, like, not the same thing you were looking at, but the same genre.
Yes. And I wrote mine last night.
I wrote mine this morning.
I'm like, tired, but I got to get this done.
I found what I was looking for, and then I was like, this is pretty neat. And then I wrote it this morning. I
think you're going to enjoy this story.
You said that, and
I think you're definitely going to enjoy it. You know what's weird?
You texted me at the same time as my other buddy texted me. I'm like, why am I?
He said the same exact
thing. No. I was like, why is everybody talking to me right now? I'm trying to go to bed. Fuck out of here. I was tired. So I ignored everybody.
You do that a lot.
I do. I generally text back.
You're getting better.
But not generally, because I just said
I send you dick pics all the time, and you never reply, and I'm getting upset.
I'm using them at that time.
Oh. And that's a compliment, then.
Yeah, afterwards, and then I'm tired, and I take a little nap.
Afterwards, you know, lotion on hands, phone slippy.
A little fapping nap.
Phone is slippy out of my hands.
It's very slippy.
Okay. So.
This story's cool.
Mine's not. I mean,
someone dies, so it's not cool, but
it's
interesting.
Definitely interesting. It's about the unkillable man.
That's it?
Well, somebody dies, so he can't be that unkillable.
He can't be killed.
Okay.
Ever.
What if we drown him in sand?
We'll see.
Okay.
I'm surprised that wasn't part of this.
A vat of acid.
Okay, so in 1933, during Prohibition, at a speakeasy in the Bronx.
My favorite. We need to bring back speakeasies.
Now, a speakeasy was a place where you can go and get alcohol during Prohibition.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was thinking about it because I'm like, I've heard different things for speakeasies, why it was called a speakeasy. Like, one was don't talk about it. One was mafia can go here and talk openly because it was considered like mostly illegal activity inside anyway.
I always figured it was called a speakeasy because of like the atmosphere. It's more of a lounge type place where you just get a drink and you guys, you know, just talk with your buddies. Camaraderie.
Actually, that's an interesting thing I read when I looked up the name.
Yep.
Because I wanted to see the origin of the name and what it actually stood for and everything. But I found out that, like, they were somewhat of, the way it was worded, I'm not 100% on this, they were some of the first places where no matter what race or heritage you were welcome, and you can hang out and just chill.
Yeah.
And then they eventually started allowing women in as well, which is kind of ironic since women started Prohibition. And
they started Prohibition?
Well, they were the ones that pushed for Prohibition.
Oh, damn women.
But anyway, I thought it was kind of interesting that it was one of the first places where it was like completely open to mingle no matter who you were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always figured it was more of like it's called a speakeasy because you all just hang out and just talked about nothing.
I thought it was because you could just talk openly and speak easily and not have to hide stuff. Like if you were in a mob, you can just talk about shit.
Yeah. Speakeasies still do exist, by the way.
There's a couple down here. I know there's one that you have to go on Instagram every day to get the secret word.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember you showing me that.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I would like to go to one day, which is funny because I don't really drink alcohol.
Me either.
No. But it seems like fun. Anyways.
I just take a pinch of pure alcohol, drop it on my tongue.
Like isopropyl alcohol?
And I lay delicious on the ground dying for a few hours and wake up. Good to go. How the hell did you wake that up? But
I think it was you saying noises. Dying is what woke it up.
Still not the key word.
Nope.
Okay, so this took place at a speakeasy in the Bronx that was run by a man named Tony Marino. So him and his accomplices. So when I first found the story, it said him.
Mm-hmm.
As I looked deeper in the story, there was actually a few of them.
Oh.
So they had this brilliant idea. They had a corrupt insurance salesman.
Right.
And he decided to take in his patrons, give them unlimited bar tabs, take out life insurance on them, and get them to drink themselves to death and collect on the money.
Interesting.
Yep.
I think I've heard of this. Well, this part, at least. I've definitely heard of some people doing this specific thing.
Yeah, so, you know, the goal was either they die of alcohol poisoning or, you know, he had a certain amount of time because of the insurance policy.
Yeah, or they're so drunk that, like, yeah, when as they long leave, as it was, they'll get hit by a car.
As long as it was an accident, bridge. He would collect the money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in general, it's a pretty simple scheme.
Right.
You got this insurance man, and you got all these people that want alcohol. You just give them free alcohol. So,
I sniff right into the mic.
Just thinking about the story. So,
it's very good for the podcast.
All in his group, there was Tony Marino, Joseph Red Murphy.
Hey.
His nickname's Red. Francis Bear. Pasqua. Hershey Green, and Daniel Kreisberg. Okay?
Okay.
Now, They came into a small problem.
Yeah?
Michael Malloy.
Mm-hmm.
He was a person they knew. He was Irish. He was homeless. He was an alcoholic.
I know where this is going.
Perfect for their plan.
Yeah.
Okay? So, you know, they're kind of acquaintances already. He gives Michael Malloy unlimited bar tab.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll drink himself to death. And he keeps drinking and drinking.
Yep.
And drinking.
Yep.
And nothing.
Yep.
Okay?
I know where they messed up.
How?
They got an Irish man to do it.
I know. I was thinking that. Right when I started reading this, I'm like, there's your fucking problem.
You said Irish, homeless, and a drunkard. I'm like, well, he's never going to fucking get drunk.
He was also a fireman at one point.
Oh, even better.
So there's a few other things he... jobs and stuff like that. So it didn't go as planned. He was drinking and he wasn't dying. So Tony had to come up with something else.
Mm-hmm.
He decided to start putting antifreeze in Michael's shots. To kill him. You know, antifreeze right. will kill you.
Yeah.
It didn't kill him.
It generally kills you.
He didn't know what was going on.
Yep.
Michael's not dying. It turns out, when I was looking into this,
yeah,
if you get whatever it is, an antifreeze, if you get the poisoning from that,
yeah,
the remedy is alcohol. So,
nice.
Kind of fucked himself over, not knowing it. So that didn't work. Okay? He then decided, I actually wrote it here. The reason they believe is that ethanol blocks the absorption of ethylene glycol in the liver.
Makes sense.
So the antifreeze was being blocked by the alcohol he was already consuming. Mm-hmm. And so that didn't work. So he decided he had to do something else. He started putting turpentine in his shots.
Oh, God.
Ugh. Michael kept going.
Oh, my God.
Kept drinking the shots. Nothing was going on.
What does this dude's blood look like?
So that wasn't working. So antifreeze and turpentine won't kill this drunk Irishman.
He's still going.
They decided to try horse liniment.
Oh, yeah?
Like muscle rub.
Yeah.
Putting it in the shots. Nothing's fucking happening.
Can you be...
Michael's still going.
Can you just imagine being those people, like, just trying to throw random... What else can we put in it? Gasoline? Fuck it. Let's put gasoline. It didn't work.
I know.
It didn't work.
I was trying to think about that as I was like, you know, he's probably thinking a couple shots with the antifreeze. That's it. No. Okay, try turpentine. No. What the fuck?
Horse rub? Sure.
So now, antifreeze, turpentine, and horse liniment didn't work. What do you think he's going for next?
Wood chips. Lead
rat
wood.
Poison.
That would have been my second guess.
What do you think happened?
Nothing.
Nothing. Michael kept going. Taking shots, going over. And this was long term.
Yeah.
Because.
This is over the course getting, of like, a few days, I assume.
Because like the insurance policy was like a year, I believe. He had a certain amount of time.
Over the few weeks, months?
Yeah. He was trying to keep poisoning him and poisoning him and poisoning him. Nothing's happening, okay? Rat poison didn't do shit. So.
Just put mercury in his...
He had to go bigger. Started adding wood alcohol.
Make him go blind.
Which is pure methanol.
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
Nothing.
Holy shit.
Michael just kept plugging along.
Oh my God.
Taking his shots. Getting his free alcohol. At this little speakeasy. So now they're getting, you know, probably... frustrated. You can probably picture them getting fucking frustrated at this.
I don't know if I'd be frustrated, just amazed.
I'd be shocked.
I'd be like, what is going
on? I'm done. I give up. You win.
He can just stay.
You fucking win, dude.
I've tried everything I can. There's nothing else I can do.
So they tried the same thing with wood alcohol, but apparently one of them had seen someone eat oysters, then drink whiskey, and die from it. So they decided they're going to soak oysters in wood alcohol and feed them with some alcohol and they'll die like the other guy.
Right.
which I don't understand.
Maybe the guy was
just allergic to seafood.
I was about to say, maybe he was allergic to shellfish or something.
These guys don't seem that smart. So, but you know, nothing happened again. Oysters soaked in wood alcohol did nothing. So, guess what came next?
I don't want to. I'm just, anything I can think of is just like, did they get a little bit of uranium and just like put it in his cup? I'm like, here you go. And the dude lived forever afterwards.
Yeah, he's still going.
He's still going to this day.
I don't know why I'm doing this story. It's not true crime. Well, no, it was attempted.
It's a crime.
It was attempted murder. Okay, so the next thing they did, they gave him a sandwich.
Ugh.
Made with spoiled sardines, poison.
Okay.
And carpet tacks.
They gave him tacks?
Yep.
Oh, no.
Nothing happened.
What? How did he eat the whole thing? Did he not smell or taste the bad sardines?
They're giving him alcohol and stuff, but you think, you know, did the carpet tacks be stabbing you in the mouth or something?
The sardines? He didn't bite down into a fucking carpet tack and like, that was a bit sharp. My gums are bleeding.
This is a spicy sandwich.
I don't know why this sandwich is biting me back. The fuck?
So at this point, they realized feeding him anything basically wasn't going to kill him quick enough before the insurance policy would run out. So they decided on a new tactic. They got him so drunk that he passed out, which seemed pretty common for him. Then they carried him to a park. They tossed him into a snowbank and dumped 5 gallons of cold water on him.
Oh, they're trying to kill him with hypothermia.
Onto his bare chest, so I'm assuming he took his clothes off.
Or just open up his shirt.
Yeah. The police found him. Took him to a homeless shelter, got him some clothes.
Oh, they did take off his clothes.
That didn't work.
Oh, my God.
Now, Hershey Green.
Imagine, though. You think you've killed this man with hypothermia.
You think you've killed him with everything so far.
He rolls up the next day with new clothes. He's like, hey, guys, I'm here for some more. Got an open tab? Alcohol. I'm like, what the fuck?
Okay, so Hershey Green, one of the group, they actually had a name they dubbed them. Did I write it down?
The Hershey Group.
Give me 1 second to check this.
The Speakeasy Conmen.
They became known as the Murder Trust.
Ah,
the group of friends there. So,
it's a great name.
Hershey.
Yep.
Was a cab driver.
Okay.
They decided to hit Michael at 45 miles an hour.
Okay.
He went to the hospital with a couple of broken bones, came out in a couple of weeks.
How are they still going at this point?
I would have fucking given up.
After,
like, you know what? Fuck this.
After hitting him with the...
Get another target.
After trying to feed him tacks and poison.
Like, just pick someone else. Anybody else. Like, I'm done.
We're done. It's okay.
It's like fucking Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner.
He can keep
it. He's not getting
it. Oh, my God. So... And he's not even catching on to this as well. That's what's even more frightening is he's literally eating tacks. And I was like... These guys are pretty great.
These guys are really nice to give me food. So nice.
Food.
Free alcohol.
Free alcohol. I got hot that one time, so they took me out and threw me in a snowbank. Yeah. That was really kind of them.
They said I was having a hot flash. I didn't think I got them, but hey, you know, I'm drunk. So they, oh my God, I can't believe they even hit him with a car. Nothing.
Damn.
Woke up in the hot, 3 weeks. Broken bones in the hospital. That's it.
3 weeks?
Yep. Get back out.
That's it?
Yep.
I know people who broke a wrist and was out for months.
Fuck, my daughter broke her, whatever that bone is.
There's a lot.
The lower leg bone. Tibia?
I don't know.
Tibia or femur? I don't know.
Probably your femur.
But she broke it at
right here, I thought. Anyway.
Yeah, so it's a tibia, lower one.
Yeah.
I guess it's one of the hardest bones that break in the body. But it was at such an angle that, like, if she put any weight on it, it would just slide apart.
Well, ow.
So we had to have a full cast, but then it wasn't healing. And we had to get a special device you put around the leg and put it on for an hour a day to stimulate bone growth.
Mm-hmm. Milk.
That was like, fuck, she was in a cast for like 6 months.
Yeah.
It was a while.
Bones don't really grow back too well.
So at this point, Michael was gaining a reputation as being Mike the Durable.
Who?
Other speakeasies.
Who's giving him this reputation?
This is the thing I was wondering. I was curious about this because I said he was getting a reputation. The police were even hearing about this reputation.
Yeah.
How are they not knowing what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, how did you get a reputation for not being able to die without people saying they're trying to kill you?
Like, the hypothermia and the car, I get. But, like, that's only two incidents. Is two incidences enough to get a reputation?
That's
Or had they been going around, no, we've been poisoning this man.
We've been poisoning this guy for almost a fucking year.
He's not going. Then we threw him out in the snow. Nah, hit him with the car. Nothing. He
was pounding back shots of straight wood alcohol.
We gave him a sandwich with poison and tacks in it. The crunches I heard that
for
day.
For a second.
The crunches I heard that day haunt me to my very core.
So yeah, he started gaining his reputation. The mic sounds weird to me. Does it sound weird to you?
No, it sounds fine to me.
Okay.
I'm glad you asked now.
They finally got tired of nothing fucking working.
Okay.
So they got Michael drunk again. They carried him to Joseph Red Murphy's room. They put a hose in his mouth that was connected to a coal gas jet and turned it on. This finally killed him.
So extreme.
Yep. So on February 23rd, 1933, Mike the Durable finally died.
Gone but not forgotten.
The death was ruled to be lobar pneumonia by a Dr. Frank Manzella, who signed the death certificate, and Mike was quickly buried.
God damn it,
now,
Frank.
Now, police
had
heard of his reputation.
So they were like, how did he die?
Exactly. When they found out somebody had died that night, they found out it was Mike the Durable. They're like, wait, that doesn't add up. This guy's got a reputation for not being able to die.
Dude, he got hit by a car.
And pneumonia took him out.
Something doesn't seem right.
They exhumed the body.
Mm-hmm.
They found out it wasn't pneumonia. All five of the, murder trusts? Is that what they were called?
Yeah.
They all were convicted.
Wow.
Hershey Green went to prison.
Right.
When they drove the car.
Yep.
The rest of them got the death penalty and they were executed in the electric chair in Sing Sing.
Holy shit.
And the doctor who signed off on the death certificate.
Yeah.
He was arrested and held on $10,000 bail as an accessory.
Wow.
So I think he might have been.
He might have helped.
An accessory after the fact.
Right.
And here's I thought it was kind of ironic. So, he was held on $10,000 bail.
Yeah.
There was five of them. The doctor must have been in on it.
Mm-hmm.
There was an insurance man in on it.
Yeah.
The insurance policy was for $3,500.
Mm-hmm.
And his bail was $10,000.
Not worth it.
I looked it up, and in today's currency, that
is going to ask
$80,000.
The $10,000?
The $3,000.
Oh, my God.
$500 would be $80,000 today. Which still doesn't seem like enough to be fucking murdering somebody.
80,000?
Yeah. It's not going to last that long.
No, that's why they did it multiple times.
Well, yeah.
Just, this dude just kept going. This,
yeah. He was like the fucking, embodiment of karma for the other victims.
Damn, really? Because they finally, eventually did kill him.
He's like, fuck you guys, I'm Irish and I'm part cat.
Yeah.
They give me nine times.
They eventually did kill him, but that death led to them all being arrested and being like, oh, well, you're all dying.
Yep. Yeah. So all of them died except one.
Two. The doctor.
Doctor, yes. Of the murder trust.
Yep. The murder trust won.
I'm surprised.
Life in prison.
I mean, Hershey was involved in all of it, too, and then he fucking mowed him down with a car. I'm surprised he didn't get.
Yeah. He's the one who drove the car.
Maybe they had, like, lack of cabbies at the time. Like, you know, you're doing a public service.
He still was in prison, though, the whole time.
Yeah. I didn't see how long he was in prison.
Oh, life in prison, so I'd assume.
I don't know. I should have looked that one up.
You
know.
Wow. How dare
still you. A crazy story, though, isn't it?
It is kind of fucking wild.
Yeah. I told you you'd find this one
interesting.
That is
insane.
I saw it, I'm like, The Unkillable Man. And it was just a little snippet I found. I'm like, that sounds really fucking interesting.
That is absurd.
I can't believe the shit they gave him. Nothing did anything.
What a legacy. What? Can you imagine being the detective who's like questioning, like, so you guys have the scheme where you take insurance policies on these transients and then give them enough alcohol to so that they die and you can collect it. Why did you just give him alcohol? Why did you do it this way? And he's like, no, you don't understand.
He's like pulling his hair out and talking
to
the guy.
You don't understand. We took the policy out 6 months ago. He's been drinking us dry. We tried poisoning him. He drank the poison, was fine.
I stopped mixing the poison with the alcohol. It was straight poison.
He kept drinking it.
Asking for more.
Then we hit him with a car. A fucking car.
I have to admit, though, that when we hit him with the car and a tack flew out of his mouth and hit the windshield, I lost it.
just so much. We had to end him.
I know, you know, it's kind of, you're making me picture, like, the Telltale Heart. Mm-hmm. Like, him not dying is just driving them all fucking insane.
Right, it's like kind of like an H.P. Lovecraft type story where they all just go further and further insane while trying to kill this dude.
Well, I went with Poe, but yeah, same idea.
Either one. Just slowly dwelling deeper into madness.
I wonder, okay. You know, I can see, okay, when they're poisoning him, they're thinking maybe this guy's just, you know, he's durable.
That immune system.
He poison doesn't affect him. But then when he just eats that and he's mowed out on tax. Fuck, dude.
Dude.
That's... Hit by a car? Fuck.
That's
a fucked up story.
It's fucked up, but at the same time,
I think when they buried him, like, okay, well, you know, he's poor. We'll get him a granite, you know, small little granite plaque. No. Granite's not durable enough.
Yeah.
He needs a titanium stone. Something to hold up to his legacy.
That is heroic almost. By just how resilient this guy was.
I think he had a couple other nicknames. I don't have my phone on.
Too bad he didn't have any children that we know of. They'd be superheroes at this point.
Mike the durable with his son. Jimmy the almost durable.
Jimmy with the impervious.
What do you mean Jimmy was almost durable? Oh, until he died.
Well, Mike as well.
One hit, you know?
Yeah. You know, bullets don't quite work the same.
Than 1930s poison. 1930s bullets were a little bit different. I saw them in Roger Rabbit. They were way different.
That lead kind of really leaches into you.
I gotta grab my phone.
Chris is walking away. He's leaving me.
I'm giving up. Hi, Artemis.
It's just me now. Hello to welcome to Arcanum Obscura. I'm Nathaniel, and there's only me. We're gonna be talking about the death of Chris.
The not so durable.
Not even slightly. The frail.
The frail.
Chris the frail. He's always tired.
We didn't know Chris had that glass bone disease.
That poor, poor man in constant physical pain. Okay, well, fuck him. He's gone now.
See if I can find the... I think I still have the page. I'm going to see if I can find that the other nickname. I'll show you that after.
Mike. The Grand. Mike Poison Eater.
Okay. That's where I found this.
Okay.
I figured I'll go, you know.
Okay.
To New York. Okay, let's see.
Mike, the bane of cars. Like
his health didn't deteriorate either while he was drinking, consuming all these poisons.
Right. I assumed.
This one actually says the sandwich was laced with metal shavings, which seems almost worse. Because it'd be shredding and cutting and like razors.
Oh, the sandwich was laced with metal shavings? Not tacks? Taxed us sometimes.
Okay, so the other nickname was Iron Mike.
Iron Mike. Not the bane of cars?
Yeah. The bane of the speakeasy. The bane of the unlimited tab.
It's not a challenge. It's just a promise. It's not a challenge. You don't gotta try and find the limit of the unlimitedness.
He became the... No, that didn't work in my head.
Yeah. He became what?
I was gonna say he became the spokesperson for a rat poison company, but I was like, no way, he'd become a test subject.
Yeah. Not the spokesperson. The dude fucking lived.
Mike's putting milk in the rat poison and eating it like cereal. Fuck. Get something else.
Crunch, crunch, crunch.
Your recipe.
Are those mothballs in there, too?
Put the bowl down. Put the bowl down.
Oh, my God.
He's fucking eating the bowl.
It's like fruity pebbles, but mothballs and...
I feel like I have an echo.
Right. Yeah. You said the word. Uh-oh. It's echo playing stop. The song. Okay.
It's done. I know, I was about to play something. I have no idea what.
I playing song. I'm like, uh-oh. That's copyrighted almost undoubtedly. And done.
Well, that's my story.
That's a great story. Mine's story. Not nearly as interesting. Well, it's interesting, but not nearly as chipper. Is that...
Chipper?
I mean, it's something.
It's definitely something.
It's... You know, it's
definitely unique,
inspiring.
And inspiring. You want to be like Mike?
I want to be like Mike.
Just do what they did in the Princess Bride, and just slowly take poison till you get an immunity.
I've never watched the Princess Bride.
What?
Yeah, it's one of the bigger movies I really want to watch, but I have never gotten around to watching it.
It is so good.
Yeah.
Then they re-released it several probably about 10 years back. There was two versions.
Which one should I watch?
It's the same movie.
So why they re-release it? What did they change?
I don't know if it's the anniversary or what, but when they released it, they had the... So in the movie, there's the girl.
Sure.
Buttercup.
Yeah.
And then there is a character called Dread Pirate Roberts.
I know the name.
Yes. So they released a version called the Dread Pirate Roberts version and the Princess Buttercup version. This is a different covers.
Well, that's it?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like re-releasing books.
Yeah. There's no difference in the actual movie.
Speaking of, did you listen to any of the books I gave you?
No. I've been going through Harry Potter.
Okay.
And I was about to go through Ready Player One for a third time.
Oh, yeah?
The second one is good.
You keep telling me about it.
Second one's a bit woke.
It's good.
Honestly, I saw reviews about the book and someone said that they were pissed off.
God damn it. There's a one trans of the girl... person in here.
Exactly. One of the main characters.
Is trans.
Yes.
Yeah.
And people were going ape shit. They had to put this woke shit in here and ruin this book.
I'm trying to think.
Well, fuck off. That's what the way the author wanted it. Deal with it. He didn't ruin it. That's the way it was intended.
Yeah. One of my favorite book series. I know I've talked about this before. The Raven Cycle.
Mm-hmm. Go to our earlier episode. You'll hear all about that book.
We've talked about it at length. I didn't realize there was a gay couple in it until the last book. Like, they're building up to a gay relationship. Like, the... And then, like... Ooh. Noah? Not Noah.
Yeah. Ronan, I know. Yeah, never mind. Don't act. It was a huge in the books.
Right.
I was going to say, it's a major character. I completely slipped my mind. I'm trying to think of some other sub-character I might have missed.
Two of the main characters?
Yeah.
I had not realized
that. I didn't expect it.
I didn't see it at all, but going back through the... I'm rereading it
makes
them.
Makes sense, yeah.
And we're like, oh yeah, there's a lot of subtext here. I did not catch that.
Yeah, especially from
Ronan.
Yep.
Yep.
I was gonna say Ronan, the manly character, definitely had more subtext.
Adam. And I'm like, oh my god, there's so much subtext in this book about them being into each other.
He's like,
I had no idea.
He's my favorite character in the book.
Ronan's a great character. Yeah. Well, you ready for my story?
Well, we'll take a little break and then we'll do your story.
I don't want to take a break. Okay, we'll be right back.
I got a sandwich for you.
What's that shiny bit?
Just eat it.
Okay.
We are back.
Hello.
Nate didn't eat a sandwich.
I wasn't hungry.
It was that rotten fish smell. It kind of turned me off.
You know, I was kind of hungry. I saw the metallic parts. I was like,
shiny. Ooh, it's glitter sandwiches.
I love glitter sandwiches. Like,
but it's not a finger sandwich. I'll pass.
Yeah.
I'm only a little peckish. I'm not hungry.
Yeah. I like cucumbers in my sandwiches. You didn't add any cucumbers.
Just a little peckish, not hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit.
I'll come back later for it.
Okay.
Is that okay?
No.
Okay.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, the fish can't get any worse.
That's true. That's true. Anyways, I'm going to talk about a very sad, kind of not good ending, but an ending to a very sad situation. I want to talk about, I forgot her name immediately.
Gypsy Rose.
Thank you. I'm going to talk about Gypsy
Rose. Big brain time in here.
I'm going to talk about Gypsy Rose and her mother.
Nilbog.
No, Claudine Blanchard. It's a very sad story for a few reasons. I don't know who's good and who's bad in this one. And it's not necessarily who's good and who's bad. It's
who's vile and who's perfect.
No.
Oh.
But it's not great. But we'll start off with talking about Gypsy. More importantly, we'll talk about like her younger years. According to Rob,
roaming the countryside in a covered wagon.
Yes.
Stealing things.
Yes. So
I'm just going for stereotypes now.
Claudine had a child with a man named Rod Blanchard. Oh my god, I didn't even read this part. I should have read this part. This is kind of wild. Claudine was pregnant.
Such good research.
I was reading all of the stuff that happened. I didn't read how the child was conceived. I should have read because this is kind of wild.
From the butt. No?
When Claudine was 24, she became pregnant by Rod Blanchard, then 17 at the time. She was 24 and he was 17.
Huh.
They named their daughter Gypsy Rose because Claudine liked the name Gypsy and Rod was a fan of Guns N' Roses.
Oh my god. Really?
Yes. I did write out what I wanted to talk about, but then I just opened up the wiki page, and I'm like, it might be easier to read
parts. That's why I named my kid Sepultura Megadeth.
I'm going to name my kid Lobotomy.
AC/DC.
Thank you.
Lobotomy?
Yep. Just Lobotomy. Or I could name my kid 3 Days Grace. Or Green Day. Or MCR.
Oh, God.
I'm going to name my kid MCR.
I was trying to think of some bad bands, but I can't think of anything right now.
Nickelback.
There you go. That's what I was trying to figure out.
What's another bad band?
I'm curious
the
about...
The Police.
Imagine Dragons.
What about Imagine Dragons?
Apparently, in an interview, they said their name was an acronym.
Is it? The entire thing?
Yeah, good luck trying to break that.
Holy shit.
So I'm curious what the hell it is. I also found out punk is completely dead.
Oh, yeah? Says who?
Sum 41 broke up.
No, they didn't. Did they really?
Yep, they announced they're done.
Holy shit.
Punk's over. They were the epitome of...
They were the last punk band ever.
They weren't even fucking punk.
They were punk.
No, they weren't. They were pop punk.
They're pop punk.
Yeah.
That still counts as punk.
No.
Joe, am I still waiting?
Fuck. You write the check.
No, that's it. That's all I have.
Did I ever tell you that I heard some shitty pop punk came on the radio?
Mm-hmm.
And the song was on, and I'm listening to the lyrics, and I'm like, this is like Taylor Swift. They're all breakup songs.
Oh, my God. It'd be like that.
Who was it?
I don't know.
Who's another
Billie
one?
Billie Eilish.
No, fuck no. Who's another friggin' shitty pop punk band that's on the radio? They're just on tour now.
Panic at the Disco.
No. I don't mind them.
I don't know. There's a lot of pop.
They're on tour. They're like...
Pop punk?
Yeah.
I don't think there's any pop punk. From the now times or like the before times?
they came back and are on tour.
Green Day?
No, they'd be punk.
My Chemical Romance?
No.
I was about to say, they're not a shitty pop punk band. They're fucking great. They're also not pop punk. They're like alternative really like emo. Either.
You know, Blink 182.
Oh. Yeah. I should have guessed that one.
I saw the funniest thing today. Well, first of all, you know, I never listened to Fall Out Boy.
You never listened to Fall Out Boy?
Not in the past, because I assumed they were just some emo shit band.
They're great.
And then I started listening to them like a year or two ago, and I missed out a lot.
Yeah.
Every song is fucking good.
What did you listen to? The newer stuff or older stuff?
Actually, it was the Uma Thurman song that got me
listening. So the newer stuff.
Yeah, but now I like all their stuff.
Oh, so you listen to like Thanks for the Memories and all that kind of shit.
They're just good. And then like I found out, like, you know, I always hated emo, and then I found out they were like the ones considered like the forefront of the emo movement.
Yeah.
I'm like, Jesus.
Fall Out Boy is fucking great.
But they're good.
Yeah. Why do you think they're so popular? Was it because they were just like alternative? They were actually fucking good.
I saw
our lawyer made us to change this title of the song.
They released a record. It's not out yet. It's already sold out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not vinyl.
Okay.
It's crinal.
Okay.
It has their tears in the record.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know what? That's the epitome of fucking emo for one.
Yeah.
I don't like emo. I do like Fall Out Boy. But.
Well, they're punk.
I would fucking buy that record just because you know it's going to be collectible.
Yeah.
They're not punk.
They are considered punk. Listen to their old stuff. It's punk.
I was talking to someone pop I know. And they're like, you know, she'd bring up a band. And I'm like, I don't like them. I don't like pop punk. Why? It's not political enough? That's not the definition of punk.
Punk isn't about being
political.
It's like
political. It's a mindset. It's not, we're going to make breakup songs and money.
Yeah. Which is
pretty much what most of those bands were back then.
Nickelback wasn't about breakup songs.
They're not emo or pop.
Oh,
they're just shit. That was Canada being mad at us and sending them. Biological warfare.
Justin Bieber and Drake's also Canadian.
Pisses me off.
What's up?
They consider Offspring pop punk.
The Offspring is punk.
Yes, exactly. But they're listed as pop punk.
No, they're
like, dude, they've been around since the fucking 80s. They've been around.
You're out of your goddamn mind to say they're pop punk. Punk.
If you look
they
them
might
up,
have a few like no, pop punk songs.
If you look them up online, that's the genre they put them in. It's
absolutely
like, no.
Absolutely not.
They have some stupid songs for the radio.
Yeah.
And then they have just great songs.
Yeah.
Just ignore the stupid shit like, you know, Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
That's
a
great song, though.
Shit like that. And their songs are just fucking phenomenal.
My friend's got a girlfriend. Anyways. I fucking love The Offspring.
Me too.
I found them through.
Did you know?
Uh-oh.
About the singer?
No.
He just got his doctorate like last year.
Really?
Yeah. And something insane too.
Good for him.
Like they weren't on tour for a while and they weren't doing anything. It's because he was getting that. Let me see.
Getting his doctorate?
His name is so fucking punk.
I want to read his thesis.
Do you know his name?
No.
It's so not punk.
John Hubert.
Dexter Holland.
Dexter Holland. Dexter's pretty punk.
Yeah.
Holland though.
Let me see if I can find what he got.
I were talking about this instead of my story.
His thesis
yes.
Was on the discovery. Let me get in there so I can get the whole thing.
I'd love to read his thesis.
Oh, I wouldn't know what the fuck was going on. His thesis was the discovery of mature microRNA sequences within the protein coding regions of global HIV-1 genomes, predictions of novel mechanisms for viral infection and
pathology.
Pathogenicity.
Oh, pathogenicity. Not pathology?
No.
Okay.
So, yeah, he got his doctorate.
It's in what sounds like genetic.
Oh, it was for something specific, though.
It is a very specific field, it sounds like. It's micro. Not microbiology. It'd be like micro. God, I can't think of what it would be. That sounds like a lot of fun.
He's got a degree in biology.
Okay.
Master's degree in molecular biology. and a PhD in molecular biology.
So I said micro. I should have said molecular.
But it was primarily for the study of, I think, HIV.
HIV, so it sounds like, yeah. That's really interesting. I kind of want to read. I mean, there's I won't understand the thesis, but I would like to read the thesis to see how we formatted it and all that. He's looking up something else. What are you looking at?
It's like there's a lot of these bands that like you don't realize it, but like the singer from Bad Religion. He's an evolutionary biologist, teaches at college. The guy from Rage Against the Machine. College professor.
For what? Can you imagine being like going to college and
I believe he was a college professor.
And then like, hey, professor, what do you do when you're not doing? Oh, I run a band. Oh, that's pretty neat. Yeah, it's called Rage Against the Machine. They're like, wait a second, you're the lead singer for Rage Against the Machine?
It wasn't a singer.
Oh, somebody else.
I believe. Let me double check this before I like spout this one out. Maybe he isn't. I thought he was.
You goober. How could you mess this up? How could you do this?
No, I heard Tom Morello was a teacher.
Who?
The guitarist.
For?
Rage Against the Machine.
Okay.
His middle name is Baptist.
Tom Baptist Morello?
Yeah.
What a neat name. I wish I had a neat name. I
had a weird, weird fucking incident with Rage Against the Machine. I was at my cousin's house. And one of my uncles, it's part of the family I don't talk to anymore, but one of my uncle's friends who was there was a teacher.
Right.
And I was like, fuck.
Maybe 12, 13. Oh my God, I was guessing.
And he kept trying to get me to go to his car to listen to Rage Against the Machine.
That is weird.
Yeah, like constantly asking me over and over. And I'm like, no, no, no. Now it's getting weird. No.
Yeah. First time.
He's like, do you like Rage Against the Machine? I'm like, I never really heard much of him. He's like, you want to come to my car and listen?
Hey there, little fella. Yeah. You want to come to my car and listen to Rage Against the Machine?
Fucking weird.
We can rage together. Fuck the machine.
Yeah.
Consensually.
With a minor.
With a minor.
This is how I fight the system.
Sleep with someone who's related to me and a minor.
He wasn't related to me.
Oh.
He was a friend of my uncle.
Never mind.
And that uncle was like by blood only. Not blood, marriage. My blood. He was only my blood.
By blood only. We made a blood pact.
I don't know.
We cut ourselves and spit in our cuts, and then we shook hands.
I cut that chunk of my family out.
With what? Hatchet?
I should have.
Yeah.
Apparently, my cousin and I really got along with. He went to their house for a party once, and they were all referring to me as the crazy one of the family.
Ah.
Because bipolar is batshit crazy, apparently, to them.
You're pretty crazy.
No.
That's pretty interesting. How do we get down this rabbit hole? Oh, Guns N' Roses. That's how we got down this rabbit hole.
There's a lot of rabbit holes in my yard. And graves.
And cats.
I was showing somebody today that picture of the crypt up in New York.
The one you were in?
No, not the one I laid in.
Oh, okay.
That was a grave, not a crypt.
And potato, patata.
There was an old cemetery up there, and like in the back was an old crypt covered with like bushes and stuff.
Yeah.
And we went in it, and it had two of the arches where they put a coffin and brick it up. One was broken open. Inside of it, there was no coffin anymore. But in the picture, I didn't realize it when I took the picture. It was a femur.
Ah.
Like, oh. When I looked at the pictures after.
My favorite.
Like, wow.
Anyways. That's and I neat.
Chewed on it.
Mmm. Still a little bit of flesh on this one.
Mmm.
Delicious. Old. Anyways, I'm gonna get back to this story, and I'm gonna there's a lot of information around all of this. I'm not gonna cover it all. If you want to look into it, you're more than welcome to,
as with almost all of our stories.
No, some of our stories we cover all of it. There's just not much to tell.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting back into the haunted.
Anyways, we're talking about reading The Haunted again. So Ron Blanchard and Claudine had a child. They got married shortly before Gypsy Rose's birthday. The couple separated when Rod realized he got married for the wrong reasons.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Goodbye now. He resisted
present.
Yeah, he resisted getting back together with Claudine even after the child was born. Even though Claudine tried, like, getting him to come back. So he stayed. He didn't get back with her. However, according to Rod did stay, like, involved with his daughter's life as much as he could for most of her life. And I'll get into it as I go along, but Gypsy was 3 months old when her mother was convinced that Gypsy was had sleep apnea, basically, and began to take her to the hospital where repeated night overnight stays with sleep monitors and other tests found no signs of the condition. What are you doing, Chris? Can't you just let me read and not bother me?
I'm playing with toys.
I'm reading something here.
I'm playing with a chupacabra.
I let you get through your stories and not bother you generally.
Generally? Yeah, generally is the
There's sometimes, the right? There's sometimes.
I'm going to take the spring off and just shoot it in your eye.
There was no signs of any kind of sleep apnea conditions. Claudine subsequently became convinced that Gypsy had wide range of health issues, which she attributed to
the mother confused the sleep apnea with waterboarding.
Yes. Uh-huh. She attributed to all the illnesses from a unspecified chromosomal disorder.
We can get Dexter on that.
Yeah. Yeah, we could, yeah. Oh, it doesn't involve HIV, so.
True.
At some point, her mother claimed that Gypsy had muscular dystrophy. Yeah.
My basically, cat looks jacked.
Okay, thanks.
Look at the way her fur is, the colors. Yeah. Doesn't look like she's got muscles.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got distracted again.
So the mother believed that her child had problems with her muscles. Basically, they were degenerating. So she made her walk with a walker. Yes.
She just, because she believed they were degenerating.
Mm-hmm.
No signs of it. Nope. You're using a walker.
Nope. Gypsy's...
And now you're going to have a bad back because you're hunched over all the time.
Yep. She convinced her child that she had problems. And so why? So Gypsy often went with her parents. Nope, that's the wrong part. Gypsy stated that when she was 7 or 8... While she was riding with her grandfather's on her grandfather's motorcycle, they were involved in a minor accident where she obtained an abrasion on her knee. Her mother stated to the doctor that had given her a wheelchair, she would need to use it.
Because she scraped her knee?
Yeah.
It's pretty common.
So she convinced her child that she also needed to use the wheelchair. So she was now wheelchair.
And the walker at the same time.
Yeah.
She had to pull herself with the walker.
Gypsy often went with her parents to Special Olympic events. In 2001, when Dee Dee, by the way, Claudine goes by Dee Dee, so whenever I say Dee Dee, I will be referring to her, claimed Gypsy was 8 when she was actually 10. She was named honorary queen of the Kruin of Mid-City. Kruin is the city name of Mid-City.
Kruin?
Kruin.
Kruin?
Kruwi.
Kruwi?
Creewee. I'm going to change the name every time, by the way.
Gypsum.
Gypsum.
I like to chew on gypsum.
Isn't that a mineral?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you should be chewing on that. That might not be good for your
teeth.
Good
for you.
And it was a child-oriented parade held during Mardi Gras in New Orleans.
You ever chew on talc?
You ever lick some mercury? Mm-hmm. It's good for you.
I like to lick that exploding.
Gypsy seemed to have stopped going to school after second grade, possibly even earlier as kindergarten. Her mother homeschooled her after that, supposedly because her illness was so severe. This was later believed
to be... Well, obviously, she scraped her knee.
Yeah. This is later an attempt to isolate Gypsy even further her abuse. Gypsy managed to learn how to read through Harry Potter books.
Good girl.
Yes. While Gypsy's father, Rod, had remarried, Claudine moved in with her father and stepmother. They would later claim that when preparing food for her stepmother, Claudine would poison it with Roundup weed killer, leading to her chronic illness during this period.
So that is what I said earlier then.
What's up?
Munchausen by proxy. It's when you make your child sick to get attention.
No. The food, the poison went into the food for the mother, the stepmother.
Yeah. So the girl's mother was poisoning her stepmother.
Yes.
Okay.
Claudine was poisoning Claudine's stepmother.
Yeah, her stepmother.
Yes.
Got
and it. Gypsy's grand stepmother. Yes. Leading to chronic illness during this period. During that time, she was arrested for several minor offenses, including writing bad checks.
Giving people Roundup to eat.
Yeah. When her parents and her stepmom began to regularly confront her about her treatment of Gypsy, expressed suspicion about her role in the stepmother's health, she left with Gypsy for New Orleans, suburb of Slidewell. Her stepmother's health returned back to normal shortly after.
It's weird how that happens.
It's strange how that happened. Inside it's almost Slidewell, like she's
unkillable.
Don't. It's not the same. She and Gypsy lived in public housing. They paid for their bills with Rod's child support payments. So Rod was still paying for child support and trying to keep in contact with the with Gypsy at this time. So paying with child support and public assistance, Claudine had been granted due to her daughter's supposed medical conditions. They spent more of their time visiting various specialists, mostly at Tulane Medical Center.
Do you think they ever just got
Children's Hospital?
You're fucking crazy. Get out of here.
Well, no. She had everyone convinced that her child actually had problems. They were trying to figure out what it was.
They got shitty doctors.
I guess so.
You know, a couple tests would prove it wrong.
A couple tests did prove it wrong, but she insisted. What are you doing?
Playing with a spring now. I'm sorry, I'll put it back.
Seeking treatment of the illness Claudine claimed Gypsy had, which she now included hearing and vision problems, while a muscular biopsy found no signs of muscular dystrophy, Claudine instead insisted that Gypsy had. She was successful in securing treatment for her daughter's other illnesses, apparently. Her other, fake illnesses. After she told the doctor Gypsy had seizures every few months, they prescribed anti-seizure medication. Several surgeries were performed on her during this time, and Claudine regularly took Gypsy to the emergency room for minor ailments.
These doctors should all be in trouble. If they're doing surgeries without any actual proof...
It's crazy. This is early 2000s.
I mean...
Which isn't to say, we didn't have the technology to tell when somebody was,
We have the technology.
We have the technology. The second half makes more sense than the first half.
I can't even get medicine for shit I really have going wrong.
Yeah. The second half makes more sense than the first half. But these doctors who are like... You have no muscle problems.
Let's do surgery.
Well, they got surgery for something else. They didn't do surgery for the muscle problems.
I know, but...
Still, it's weird. After Hurricane Katrina devastated the area in August 2005, Claudine and Gypsy left their ruined apartment for a shelter in Covington, set up for individuals with special needs. Claudine and Gypsy's medical records, including the birth certificate, had been destroyed in the flooding. Or so they said. A doctor there from the Ozarks suggested that they relocated to her native Missouri. And the next month, they were airlifted there. So they left, and they went to Missouri. At first, Claudine and Gypsy lived in the rental house in Yes?
At this point in time...
It gets worse.
Medical records were connected.
2005... Were they connected in 2005?
Yeah.
I know the medical problem.
Mother got arrested when I was still in school. when they started connecting pharmacies and all that stuff via internet. So I'm assuming doctors had access to. Although you have to sign over the paperwork.
Yeah. I don't know how much, because I remember 2008, I still had all my medical records physically, like a big stack of it. And they didn't start to digitize it until I was like...
Yeah, but I think if you go to a new doctor, you still have to sign over.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she just probably wasn't signing them over.
Probably not. Anyway, she claimed they were destroyed, and a doctor from the Ozarks was like, come to Missouri, we'll take care of you. So she goes to Missouri.
We got surgeons.
They live in a rental home in Aurora in the southern west area of the state. During their time there, Gypsy was honored by the foundation, or Layford Foundation, which advocates for rights of feeding tube recipients. It is, yeah, it's not great.
They got her a feeding tube?
No, she already has a feeding tube at this point.
Oh.
Her mother's feeding her through tube, unnecessarily. In 2008, Habitat for Humanity built them a small home with wheelchair ramps and hot tub.
I'm starting to think this is Munchausen's by proxy. She's giving her daughter shit in order to get attention for herself.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's Munchausen by proxy.
But I don't think she believes her child actually has these problems.
No, you don't have to. Munchausen by proxy is just saying your kid's sick to get attention for yourself.
Okay, I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay, yeah, then yes, it's 100% that. She's definitely in this kind of position of she wants attention, and the way she wants to get attention is by being a caretaker. So Habitat for Humanity built them a small home with a wheelchair ramp and a hot tub as part of a larger project of the northern side of Springfield to the east, and the two moved there. The story of the single mother with several severely disabled daughter forced to flee the Katrina disaster received considerable local media attention, and the community often pitched in to help the woman who now went by Claudine and whom they knew as Dee Dee.
Definitely had Munchkin by proxy.
Yes. She would use basically her daughter to get free plane tickets to go to basically other hospitals around the area and around the world, around the states. A lot of the time using Ronald McDonald Houses, which is like the Ronald McDonald Foundation that they have set up. And they would get free tickets to a bunch of different places, concerts. There's photos of Gypsy with these singers. Chris looked up something.
Perhaps the most publicized recent case for Munchausen by proxy is that of Dee Dee and Gypsy Rose.
Yep. Okay. There you go. Oh my God. They went to Disneyland a few times. What did you see?
I'm just going to close it because you didn't get to that part yet.
Yeah.
More stuff.
It gets worse. Yes, I'm telling you. It
definitely
you.
Does.
It gets worse. It's not a great story, but it's an interesting story. Where was I at? Yeah, so at this point, she's just using her daughter to get free things, travel around.
And Make-A-Wish Foundation's granted.
Yeah. They went to Disney a few times. They went to backstage stuff for concerts.
And nobody ever tested.
No! Everyone just took her at her word.
Fucked up.
Where am I at now?
So some stupid lady goes and ruins shit for people who really need it.
Yep. Also during this time, Rod, the father, continued to make monthly child support payments of $1,200 a month, as well as sending Gypsy gifts and occasionally talking to her on the phone.
He didn't know how bad it was?
No. Yes and no. He knew it was a little, he believed she actually started to have these problems too. This is where it's a little bit weird. During one call, to Gypsy on her 18th birthday, Dee Dee, he recalls Dee Dee telling him not to mention her daughter's real age. She was 18.
So that was red flags then.
Yeah, she was 18. She had told her daughter that she was 14. So she's making her daughter seem younger and still have all these problems.
Okay.
Yep.
Now her daughter learned how to read from a book.
Yeah.
So she's pretty smart.
Fairly smart. Couldn't
tell how many years she was alive?
Nope. Couldn't tell.
I mean, I guess you can just lie about the first 4 years because they won't remember it.
Yeah.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, Claudine got, like, a fake birth certificate made up because she said that the originals were all destroyed in the Katrina incident. So everyone believed that it was her actual age.
So she probably used more sympathy from the Katrina incident to get the birth certificates without much proof.
Yep. Yep. Rod and his second wife regularly hoped to get to Springfield and visit, but for various reasons, Dee Dee would change plans. She told the neighbors in Springfield that Gypsy Rose's father was an abusive drug addict and an alcoholic who had never been, who had never come to terms with her illnesses, essentially.
Yeah, he frequently calls and checks in on her.
Yeah. Well, nobody knew that except for Gypsy and...
Yeah, true.
Dee Dee. Many people who met Gypsy were charmed by her 5-foot stature, nearly toothless mouth, large glasses.
They were intrigued?
I said charmed.
Yeah, I find that charming.
Well, it's kind of like, you poor thing.
Look at you, little cripple.
Look at the little crippled. Large glasses, high and childlike voice reinforced the perception that she had all the problems her mother claimed she did.
God, she's so crippled. That's charming.
Yeah. Gypsy often wore wigs or hats to cover her baldness. Her mother regularly shaved her head to mimic a hairless appearance. She had nothing. She had no illness.
Shaved her head?
She shaved her head regularly. She made her, like, she had no, like, muscle deficiencies, but she made her, like, in a...
But that would give her muscle deficiencies over time.
Yeah. So whenever she shaved her head, she allegedly was telling Gypsy that since her medication would eventually cause her hair to fall out, it was best to shave it in advance. When they left the house, Edie often took oxygen tanks and feeding tubes with them, so that she could basically have Gypsy on these oxygen tanks, and she would feed Gypsy children's liquid nitrogen supplements.
I'm, like, picturing her, like...
Well into her 20s, mind you, she did this.
But I'm, like, picturing her, like, being, like, a mother bird.
Baby birding her? The fucking...
Chews up a McDonald's burger and just blows it down the tube.
Dee Dee used physical abuse to control her daughter, always holding her daughter's hand in the presence of others. Whenever Gypsy said something that either suggested that she was not generally sick or seemed above her purported mental capabilities. Oh, yeah, I don't know if I mentioned that. She said her daughter had, like, mental disabilities as well as physical disabilities. So, which she didn't. She was completely fine. Where was I at?
Well, when she gets done with her, she's gonna.
Yeah.
Holding her hand. Physical abuse and holding her hand.
Yes. So whenever she didn't say something, or when she would say something that would kind of contradict what her mother was basically saying, she would squeeze her hand tightly. And when the two were alone, Dee Dee would strike her with either an open hand or a coat hanger.
No more wire hangers!
It gets worse again. Medical interventions continue. Dee Dee had some of Gypsy's saliva glands treated with Botox, then extracted altogether to control the drooling.
What the...
But the reason why she was drooling was because the mother would use anesthetics on her gums to induce drooling, so it looked like she was not mentally all there. The lack of saliva glands, with the side effect of the anti-seizure medications she was given, caused Gypsy's already few teeth to decay to the point where the majority of her front teeth were extracted and replaced by a bridge. Tubes were implanted into her ears to control her myriad of purported ear infections. Yeah. It's just bad. So there was some people who actually did was like, this, what's going on? There's no actual problems. Bernardo Fleinstein, a pediatrician neurologist who saw Gypsy in Springfield, became suspicious of her muscular deficiency diagnosis. He ordered an MRI and blood tests, which found no abnormalities. I don't see any reasons why she doesn't walk, he told DD on the following up visit. After seeing Gypsy stand and support her own weight, Flemstern noticed that DD wasn't 100% truthful and wasn't like saying everything. After contacting Gypsy's doctor in New Orleans, he learned that Gypsy's original muscle biopsy had come back negative, undermining DD's self-reported diagnosis of muscular dystrophy, as well as her claim that all of Gypsy's records had been destroyed by flooding. He suspected the possibility of Munchausen syndrome by proxy. DD contrived to gain access to Fleinstein's notes and subsequently stopped taking Gypsy to see him.
Yeah, so someone started catching on, so she stopped.
Yep. However, the guy did not report this.
Of course.
Yeah. He said he had been told by other doctors to treat the pair with golden gloves, and doubted the authorities would believe him anyways. In 2009, an anonymous caller told the police that Dee Dee's use of different names and birth dates for herself and her daughter, and had suggested Gypsy was in better health than they claimed. Officers who performed the resulting wellness check accepted Dee Dee's explanation that she had been misinformed. To make it hard, Dee Dee's explanation that she had used the misinformation to make it harder for her abusive ex to find her and Gypsy without talking to Rod, and reported that Gypsy seemed generally be mentally disabled, and the file was closed. No, they were told, and they were like, it's fine to me. Looks all good. Yeah, that girl's not great. Anyway, let's go.
I gotta go to lunch. Let me look at those papers real quick.
Yeah. Since 2001, Gypsy had attended a science fiction fantasy convention, which is like a book convention that happens quite frequently, sometimes in costume, since she could blend into their diverse and inclusive communities in a wheelchair. At an event in 2011, she made what might have been an escape attempt that ended with her mother finding her in a hotel room with the man she had met online. Again, Dee Dee used the fake documents, her fake birth certificate, basically to blackmail the guy who was trying to help her and saying that she was underage and that she would call the police. Gypsy calls afterwards, Dee Dee smashed her computer with a hammer and threatened to do the same with her fingers if she ever tried escaping again. She also kept Gypsy leashed and handcuffed to her bed for 2 weeks. After that, Dee Dee later told Gypsy that she had filed paperwork with the police claiming that Gypsy was mentally incompetent, leading Gypsy to believe that if she attempted to go to the police for help, they would not believe her.
So Gypsy was starting to catch on?
Yes. Gypsy was starting to catch on at this point. Sometimes around 2012, Gypsy, who continued to use the internet after her mother had gone to bed to avoid her Titan supervision, made contact online with a Nicholas Geojohn.
You guys don't understand how easy that is now.
This is 2012.
When I was younger, we'd have to wrap the computer in a blanket so nobody heard it connecting to the internet at night.
So she met up with a guy named Nicholas, a man around her age from Big Bend, Wisconsin. Gypsy says they met on a Christian single site, which is kind of funny. I don't know why that's funny to me. Nicholas had a criminal record for indecent exposure. Kind of ironic. What?
Christian dating sites.
Why?
Because God's supposed to have a plan for you.
Yeah. What is, why
now can't... Now you're seeking someone.
Yeah. Why can't that his be... Who it's, says his plan doesn't involve a dating site? For you
to sign up for a dating site?
Yeah. God works in mysterious ways.
Yes, he does. That's always the best excuse.
God works in mysterious ways. So this Nicholas guy that she's begun talking to has a criminal record for indecent exposure and a history of mental illness, sometimes reported as an identity disorder. He was also on the...
That one wasn't me. I didn't do that. That was my other identity.
Yeah. That wasn't Chris. That was Nicholas. It's different. He also had autism spectrum disorder. In 2014, Gypsy confided in a 23-year-old neighbor who was that she had, with Nicholas, had discussed eloping and even choosing names for potential children. Gypsy, who had five separate Facebook accounts at this point, Gypsy and Nicholas were flirting online. Their exchange sometimes used BDSM elements, which Gypsy since claimed was more what he was interested in. The neighbor tried to talk her out of it, still thinking Gypsy was too young and possibly being taken advantage of by an online sexual predator. She considered Gypsy's plans just a fantasy and dreams, and nothing like that would ever really take place. Despite Dee Dee's efforts to prevent her from using the internet, which went as far as destroying her daughter's phone and laptop, Gypsy maintained contact with Nicholas, who saved printouts of her posts until 2004. The next year, Gypsy arranged... This is a weird one. Gypsy arranged and also paid for Nicholas to basically come to Springfield.
Where'd you get the money?
And meet the mother. I don't know. Her plan was for him to casually bump into her while she and Dee Dee were at the movie theaters, both of them in costume, and apparently strike up a relationship that way, and then later for her to introduce him to her mother. So it was like, come over here, bump into us at the movie theater, so I can be like, look at this boy I found in person, not online. Well, whenever they met, as soon as they did meet up in person for the first time, Nicholas says, Gypsy led him to the bathroom, and they did the coitus.
Oh.
Yeah. The two continued to do the internet relations between while developing a plan. So, after this, they met, they did the sexy time, and then afterwards, they developed a plan. And that plan was to kill their mother.
Can't blame her.
I can't blame her either. I mean, on one hand, it's like, damn, probably shouldn't kill people. On the other hand, this lady's kind of...
Killing you.
Kind of killing you and not a great person. Nicholas returned to Springfield in June 2015, arriving while Gypsy and her mother were away at the doctor's appointment. After they had returned home, Dee Dee had gone to sleep. He went to the Blanchard house... I'm changing their name every time I say it. Gypsy let him into the home, allegedly giving him duct tape, gloves, and a knife with the understanding of murdering Dee Dee. Gypsy hid in the bathroom and covered her ears so that she would not have to hear her mother screaming. Nicholas then stabbed Dee Dee 17 times in the back while she was asleep. Afterwards, the two had coitus.
She woke up at the 16th.
Yeah. She had to add that next one in just in case.
Just in case.
The two hooked up in the bedroom and took $4,000 in cash that Dee Dee had been keeping in the house, mostly for the ex-husband's child support. They fled to a motel outside of Springfield, where they stayed for a few days while planning their next move. During that time, they were seen on security cameras at several locations. Gypsy said that at that point, she believed the two had managed to get away with their crime. They mailed the murder weapon to Nicholas's home in Wisconsin to avoid being caught with it, then took a bus there.
Most people just throw it in the river or something.
Yeah, several witnesses who saw the pair on their way to the Greyhound station noted that Gypsy was that Gypsy wore a blonde wig and walked unaided, so she can walk just fine.
Yeah,
this entire time. So, yeah, it's not great.
No.
And
it's not great on either.
No, it's
either way around.
It's not great. It's like
you got the murder and then you got the girl being abused the whole time. Yeah. And is it self-defense? Is it straight up murder?
I think it'd
fall more almost in like
it's
self-preservation.
Because she didn't believe she had any way of escaping.
Mm-hmm.
She believed no one would actually believe her if she said
so. So did they get convicted?
Yes. They were convicted. They basically, how they found out she died is that Gypsy made some posts on Facebook like "that bitch dead" and stuff like that, and some people were getting worried because they haven't seen Dee Dee for a while. And even though they do leave for vacation, like just randomly at times to go to like events and such, nobody had heard anything from them. So the police did a wellness check and she was dead. And
like, how did this happen?
How did this happen? Where's the daughter?
I bet you it was that 17th one.
Yeah. Yeah. So they tracked them down using IP address from where they were posting and such. All that fun stuff. I'm trying to find the actual, like,
convictions?
Convictions. I do know that the... Not the attorney. The guy who actually, like, the state prosecutor. I know the state prosecutor didn't want to charge him with first-degree murder. Let's see if I can find it, actually. A violent murder, rapidly sheriff, long-term victim of abuse. While the charge of first-degree murder can carry death penalties under Missouri law or life without parole, the county prosecutor, Dan Patterson, soon announced that he would not seek it for either Gypsy or Nicholas, calling the case extraordinary and unusual.
Well, you know, I could see them going for it for Nicholas, I guess, because he wasn't the one being abused.
Yeah, but she stated it was her plan, which, I mean, he did do it, but at the same time, it's a bit weird. But I also, it's a good... It's an accurate thing to say, where it's like, it's extraordinary and unusual. After attorney obtained her medical records from Louisiana, he secured a plea bargain to second-degree murder for Gypsy. Gypsy, who was undernourished at this point, during the year she was in the county jail, her lawyer told BuzzFeed that she had gained 14 pounds, which is wild, because most of the time when people go to jail and they... They lose weight.
Yeah, that's how malnourished she was. That was nourishment.
In 2015, she accepted the plea bargain agreement and was sentenced to 10 years in prison. Nicholas didn't have a plea deal. Nicholas still faced more severe charges because
he did prosecutors, it.
Yeah, contended that he initiated the murder plot. And both he and Gypsy agreed that he was the one who actually killed her. Her plea bargain agreement did not require her to testify against him. In January 2017, his trial was postponed when prosecutors requested a second psychiatric exam. His lawyer conducted that he was intelligent. His IQ score was 82 and is on the autism spectrum, suggested that he has diminished capacity. He had initially waived his rights to trial by jury, but changed his mind in June of that year.
Yeah, I would definitely want a jury in that case.
Yeah, I probably would want one as well. In December 2017, the judge set Nicholas's trial for November 2018. In the opening statement, prosecutors alleged that Nicholas had deliberated for over a year before the crime, and his lawyers pointed to his autism and said that Gypsy had formulated the crime and their love-struck client had just done as he...
Well, he did save all the conversations.
Yeah. A lot of them were brought up in the trial. The next day, prosecution showed jurors the text messages, sometimes sexually explicit, that Gypsy had with Nicholas, shared in the weeks before the murder, often using various personas as well as the knife which they had used to commit the crime. In some texts, he asked her for details about Dee Dee's room and sleeping habits. There were supplement by videos of his interview with the police after his arrest, where he admitted to having killed her. On the third day of the trial, Gypsy had said that it was indeed her who suggested killing Dee Dee to end her mother's abuse. And so, yeah. She actually had another plan as a backup. She had considered getting pregnant by Nicholas in hopes that basically the mother would be forced to accept him. Yeah. So, I don't know if that would have worked, though. I would be worried that the mother would try to, like, get the baby aborted in some way.
Or physically harm her so she would...
Yeah.
Miscarriage.
Miscarriage, yeah. Or she probably would have tried to say that Nicholas basically essayed her because she was a diminished... intelligence that she wasn't able to actually consent to it.
Yeah. That's fucked up.
Yeah, it's all fucked up. But she went to jail for 10 years. I believe she's still serving right now. He received a sentence of 25 years, by the way.
Well, that makes sense.
So.
So he actually did
but
the
it
crime.
It is second degree murder. It's crazy. All of it's terrible. It's terrible what happened to her. It's also unfortunate what she had to do to get out of that situation. What she felt like she had to do to get out of that situation. But yeah, that's kind of the story of...
Yeah, that's a pretty fucked up story.
Gypsy Rose. There was a lot of other things that she like would try and convince her daughter she had.
Yeah, because the thing I saw that popped up said... she claimed that she had leukemia as well.
Yes.
I'm like, Jesus.
There's a lot of things she claimed she had. Leukemia, she had some kind of mental disorders, very strokes, various other illnesses that will lower her immune system.
Do you think she just had, like, a medical ailments textbook?
It was just like, that through. One sounds good. Let's add that onto it. It's not just Pokemon.
Close her eyes, flips the book open, spins her finger in the air, and just points at something random.
Maybe.
Well, testicular cancer might be able to pull it off.
Maybe. She could have testicles. It's a rare disease.
Her testicles have not dropped. His testicles have not dropped yet.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm feeling that.
The mother... Sorry, I yawned right into the mic.
I know, I'm tired too. I got dirt in my ass.
You got dirt in your ass?
Spider-Man threw dirt in my eyes.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, the mother, Claudine, was a terrible person. She did terrible things to the daughter. And I was hoping she would, like... It's always sad to see that someone gets away with this kind of abuse for so long.
Especially when it's, like, more modern.
Yeah. I mean, this happened less than 10 years ago. I mean, it started in, like, the early 2000s, but the murder happened in 2005. Yeah. 2015, rather. So, it's less than 10 years ago.
If it being such a, I guess, modern-ish case, being considered one of, like, the prime, like what they use as an example for Munchausen by proxy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which kind of shows how bad it was.
I mean, everyone believed her.
Yeah.
Everyone, and most of the doctors took her at her word, even though there was like contradictory like tests. Everyone just took what she said and just kept going with her. Like, yeah, your daughter has some problems.
I'm wondering, like, when the doctor said handle them with like golden
gloves,
if it was at the point where like they were becoming afraid to even say anything because of how much of a reputation the poor girl had.
I think it was. I think that definitely contributed to it.
If you stand up and say something.
Well, he said that nobody would believe him. Yeah. He said he was worried that nobody would believe him if he took it to the like people, to, like the police or anything like that. So he just stayed quiet, which I get it. But at the same time, it's very unfortunate because he was like, wait a second, this isn't right. She's fine. Why are you doing this? And he's like, well, no one will believe me, so I'm going to stay quiet.
Yeah, it's always good.
Yeah.
It always works out, it seems.
It's very unfortunate. Hopefully, Gypsy, whenever she gets out, kind of, I don't want to say turns her life around. I do know Gypsy did say that she's felt more free in prison than she's ever had in her life.
I wouldn't say as much. She personally has to turn around.
Yeah, I don't think she has to do much.
It was her mother that was kind of doing the steering.
That's why I was like, I want to say
better life.
Turn around. I hope she does better when she gets out. I really do. Because what happened to her is very unfortunate and to the point where she felt like she had to.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's a quote from her. I feel like I'm more free in prison than with living with my mom because now I'm allowed to just live like a normal person. Yeah. It's crazy. I know she also said something along the lines of, like, she feels like her mother would have been a great mother for somebody who actually was sick. But since she felt like she always had to be, like, that caretaker, that it did terrible things for somebody with normal.
I mean, if they were already sick, would she make them worse? Or would she just
take care of them? That's a good question. I don't know. Probably. I would think she'd probably make things worse.
Yeah.
Unless it was, like, a severe enough thing.
Yeah, that she was getting the attention she wanted anyway.
She likes having...
But the problem is, if she did have a sick kid, at some point people would just kind of get bored of it. And then she'd have to come up with a new sickness anyway. And she wouldn't be getting the attention anymore. I wouldn't say necessarily, like, the doctors wouldn't get bored if it was a real medical thing. They'd be working on it, but she wouldn't be, like, say, for example, like, on talk shows anymore, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if she's ever been on talk shows.
No, I know. I'm just using an example, like, you know, you find out the kid's sick and you get on the news and people are talking about you and eventually they stop talking about you.
Yeah, I'm worried what would have happened had she not done this. Would she still be stuck in that kind of situation?
Probably, or she's dead.
Or dead. Because she's giving her medicine that she doesn't need.
Again, there's only so far you can go because the attention fades that the last step she has is to kill the girl.
Or get one of her limbs removed.
No, I know, but eventually the only final option...
Kill her. Yeah.
Because, you know, like, even like you said, like, say, oh, well, she got into a car accident and lost a limb. Well, how many times can you do that?
Four.
Well, technically four, but after the first one, people really won't care anymore.
Probably only twice. Because the first one, she loses a limb. The next one, she has to lose more limbs.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
It gets to the point where the only thing she has left, like, seems like she'd have left to complain about or get attention for is if her daughter died from some mysterious illness.
Yeah.
Or a horrible crime was committed and she died.
It's so sad. But she's doing better. I mean, it's a bad situation, but she's doing better in prison. She's learning, doing things she wants to do and not actually have to live with her mother's abuse. Must be a weird story, though. Imagine meeting her in prison and be like, what are you in here for? I killed my mom, but she had been abusing me for the last 20-something years.
Yeah.
I've been wheelchair-ridden for 14 years. You walk just fine. Yeah, I didn't actually need it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We're the walker.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm really good at doing wheelies in a wheelchair now. You want to check it out? Watch this.
I did learn that if you put a hit list on the side of your wheelchair and you take out your fellow patients, what would they be? Your fellow, the people that are in the hospital with you.
Like patients? Other patients? I don't know if I would call it my fellow patients, but...
They take your wheelchair away.
Why do you know this?
Because I did that.
I'm sure if you actually need a wheelchair, they won't take it away.
They'll
just start locking your brakes.
No, they took it away.
I can't go anywhere now.
It was the first time I was an inpatient. Well, first and second.
Because
I was moved from one hospital to another.
Yeah.
But we were playing indoor soccer.
Uh-huh.
And you know, we were all around the same age, so we were all kind of friends. That's why I didn't know how to say it. Like, not fellow patients, they were kind of became friends.
Acquaintances?
Yeah. And this girl I would talk to a lot, we were like kind of a, what's it called, soccer scrimmage, when you're up against the other person.
Yeah.
We were trying to get the ball from each other, and I jumped the stop sideways, and my ankle folded till my foot touched the side of my leg.
Oh. Ouch.
And my whole foot was black, and they had me in a wheelchair, and then they took it away because I had a piece of paper on the side with all the other people, the kids' names. I'd put an X every time I'd slam into them with the wheelchair.
Nice.
One kid, I hit him in the shins, and then he fell over. I rolled up on top of him and sat on top of him in the wheelchair. Then they took my wheelchair away and gave me crutches.
Well, you did it to yourself.
No, I didn't.
I did it
to them, and then they were mean and took away my weapon.
Why give me this powerful tool if you don't expect me to use it, damn it?
Exactly.
You've given me this power. I'm going to use it.
You can't give someone the Infinity Gauntlet and take it away.
They can, and they did.
They did.
Joke's on you. Anyways.
His name was Pete.
Don't.
I don't remember his last name.
Okay.
No. I just remember slamming into his shins in the rec room and Pete rolling Davis. On top of him.
Somehow you met Pete Davis.
I don't know how I rolled the wheelchair on top of somebody.
It's very impressive.
I did it, though.
Well, on that gloomy note, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Arcanum Obscure. Chris, do you have anything to add?
No. I'm tired.
Okay, that's not, tired. You're not adding anything. It's normal.
You want to contact us?
Yeah.
Email is arcanumobscuracast@gmail.com.
Yep.
Twitter is @ArcanumObscura and Instagram is @ArcanumObscura.
Yeah.
And if you've listened to old episodes, the Instagram has changed.
That's okay. We don't say it.
What? The old one?
Yeah.
Oh, I know, but if they listen to an old one and they come to a new one and they know the old one still, I'm just pointing it out.
No. There's only been one Arcanum Obscura Instagram ever. It's Arcanum Obscura. That's it.
It was Arcanum
Obscura. No. There's been one.
The other one is still up.
Nope. It's no.
I cannot get into it.
Don't look for it. It's not there. I've hoped you enjoyed this episode of Arcanum Obscura.
That's the one that has the
picture of Nate. Join us next week as we dive into something else weird.
Yeah. I don't know what we're going to do yet.
Nipple tassels.
We'll figure it out in the last minute, like usual.
Nothing is new. We're the same old podcast with slightly better audio.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Bye.